Hi everyone, I wanted to sing Rock of Ages, but since I was not first, that's okay. I'm gonna read. Okay, fine. Yeah.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the trouble pure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand, no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown, and behold thee on my throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
You gotta hold this song, August, because this top lady. Luther for him, and that was the inspiration, that event, the inspiration for this song. And he got sheltered from the thunderstorm in a little cleft in the rock.
Thank you for the explanation how this song came. So this is something that we made today at Phil and Vicky's house for the kids. It was so much fun. So I was thinking about our Christian life and my talk today, and I made this thing for all to see. My daughter painted red to represent cross, and everyone who's sitting here, we all cling to the cross, just how we read the song. And all of us say there is no other way to salvation, or there's no other way to God other than clinging to the cross, really accepting his death for us, that he is actually broken for us so we can be united to God or we can reach God. But how many of us actually cling to him other than anything for salvation? It is easy for us to come to cross and cling to him because there's no other way to reach God. The deep valley between God and us is so deep that only cross can fill. And that's easy to realize, easy to come to an understanding, but oftentimes there are many issues in our life, daily issues of probably filling gas in our cars. Or even today morning we heard about parenting. I have three little kids, you know, the tantrums they throw, how to deal with them. It's difficult to cling to God in those areas, and we keep looking for solutions. We keep looking for advices, and there's nothing wrong in looking for advices. There's nothing wrong in looking for solutions. But we don't cling to God. And I wanted to open up a scripture where God is actually telling people of God to cling to him, and he's actually made us to cling to him. Jeremiah chapter 13, verses 1 to 11. Jeremiah Jeremiah chapter 13, verses 1 to 11. Thus says the Lord God, Lord to me, go and buy a linen loincloth and put it around your waist and do not dip it in water. So I bought a loincloth according to the word of the Lord and put it around my waist. And the word of the Lord came to me a second time. Take the loincloth that you have bought, which is around your waist, and arise, go to the Euphrates, and hide it there in a cleft of the rock. So I went and hid it by the Euphrates. As the Lord commanded me, and after many days, the Lord said to me, arise, go to the Euphrates, and take from there the loincloth that I commanded you to hide there. Then I went to the Euphrates and dug, and I took the loincloth from the place where I had hidden it. And behold, the loincloth was spoiled, and it was good for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Thus says the Lord, even so will I spoil the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people, who refuse to hear my words, who stubbornly follow their own heart and have gone after other gods to serve them and worship them, shall be like this loincloth, which is good for nothing. Now, listen to me, verse 11, or read in your own versions. For as the loincloth clings to the waist of a man, so I made the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah cling to me, declares the Lord, that they might be for me a people, a name, a praise, and a glory, but they would not listen. God is speaking to Jeremiah, and he's saying that just like our undergarments that all of us wear clings to us, and they are not for showing, clings to us. They do not have any other value other than just covering us, our body parts. And they're not shown outside. We cannot parade ourselves with those clothes, even as something. So as the undergarment clings to us, so I made the whole house of Israel. So he made the people of God cling to him, declares the Lord. And for what? That they might be for me a people, a name, a praise, and a glory. But they would not listen. I mean, this is a rather unappeasing declaration from God. He basically giving illustration of how we need to be close to God, how we need to be intimate to God. He made us, the whole purpose of he making people for himself is to be close to him, is to be intimate to him, that we need to be living in embrace. There's no other way we can live. And today, if we say if we are only clinging to the cross for salvation, then we are not really people of God. Anyone can come to God for salvation because there is no other way. But only people of God can cling to him for no matter what the issue is. Now, how does the clinging look like? And all of us with little children can easily attest to it. There is no matter how rich, how poor, our social status, or even homeless, a child will cling to his parent. A child is cling to his mom or dad. That's an easy idea for us to understand. They would not go anywhere other than clinging to a parent. My wife, Esther, mom was a widow at a very young age, and as fate would have it, or unfortunately, because of the stigma or something, she was thrown on the road without having a house, without having a place to live. But Esther had, but because she's a small daughter, she has nowhere to go, even though she has a place to stay, she went along with her mom to stay on the road when she's a kid. So that is how most of our kids do. They don't know anything other than clinging to their parents. And this is how God expects us to be. And not because he's or egoistic, or he just wants to see like that, but because he wants us to be a people, a name, a praise, and a glory. He wants us to bring glory to him by being intimate to him. He wants us to be bringing praise around the people we live in. Bring him praise among the people we live in. So what did Israelites do? Instead of being a people who cling to him, verse 9 and 10 talk about it. First, they were proud. It says, he will spoil the pride of Judah and great pride of Jerusalem. They took pride in what they had. Maybe it's position, maybe it's, you know, the way they were blessed. Maybe it's just because they had too many children. For whatever reason, they were proud. And today we can also be proud looking at our 401 case. Or we can be proud at looking at our old cars that both Phil and Pastor Bruce referred to. Or we can be just proud looking at the paycheck that's coming to every day. But that is not how God wants us to live us, which that's one of their sin. And the next other sin was they were following their own hearts. And all of us know this famous verse that our hearts are deceitful. Following our own heart will lead us to in a downward spiral of sin. And today if we look at the world, no matter what they say, something that you have to follow your own heart, how much our bad that looks. But instead of following our own heart, what are we called to die? Sorry, what are we called to do? I gave you the answer. We are called to die instead of following our own heart, what it wants to do, does. And then we are called to be transformed like Christ. That is our call. Even if it goes against our own desires, even if it goes against our own heart. And then what they did, they worshipped other gods and served them. So I know today most of us don't have the idols in the corner of our houses, but we do have idols that we don't would like to, that we not like to admit. One of them is the phone in front of me that we spend so much time on, and it could be, you know, for a few days, an idol for me and my wife became what the curriculum that we choose for our daughter Nisi for homeschooling. We spent so much time on figuring out what could it be. It became our idol. Even small things can become our idol, but God wants us to cling to him even for those things. Now, all the good things, there's nothing wrong in planning. There's nothing wrong in doing. But it's the pride or it's the attention that we give it to that we do not give to God is the problem there. And without knowing, we end up worshipping things that we're not supposed to worship. And many times we have to let go of many things that we know that are good so we can cling to God. I want to share a personal testimony. I got married in 2020, but I've been looking for a spouse for myself since 2014. And when I was thinking for marriage and thinking of a wife, I had many desires. I had many thoughts of this is how my wife should look like, or this is how my wife needs to be. And I specifically wanted to share two things of how they became my idols and how I need to let go and cling to God. One thing was, I came from a family of a Hindu background, so I came to Christ first, and then my family came, followed believing God later. And I never had somebody giving me a sound advice or a father-like figure. So I always wanted to marry somebody whose father would be a spiritual guide to me, as somebody whom I can take advice from. Even today, I'm like a father to my own biological father. That I need to take care of even financial needs of his, but I just want to avoid and have somebody in the family who want who could be a father like. And that was one of my idols. I was seriously looking for that and praying for that. And I truly desire know that it's a good thing. I'm not looking for a bad thing. And growing up, I had... We grew up in a poor family, and since my parents didn't have 3 meals a day, I mean, they had to struggle to provide. So I want to marry a girl who comes from a well-to-do family, so she doesn't have all the insecurities I grew up with. And she can have a family that my children can, you know, enjoy. That was another my desire. And I don't think that's the wrong desire. But that was what my heart wanted to follow. Other than that, you know, typical young man stuff, what you want to fall in a wife. But 6 years, God took me through a journey where I had to little by little leave those desires of mine. And finally, He brought me a place where I had to fully abolish or avoid everything and just cling to Him. God, if this is not from You, I don't want to have it. And only then God was able to provide me a wife. And I can truly say probably all my desires would have not amounted to what I have today in my wife. I know she loves me enough to get rid of my own insecurities. And she's an advisor that I truly need in times of difficulties. And I just want to say a joke that last night my wife told me, today I'm going to speak. She told me, last time you spoke at the retreat, you cracked a joke and no one laughed, so please don't joke. So that was the advice I needed. And another thing I need to cling to God was, we talked about yesterday, and Shana referred to in her time of prophecy, was since the age of 17, I wanted to speak in tongues. For me, I desire truly, this is what next level of Christianity looks like. This is what next level of following Christ looks like. And I'm double the age of 17. I'm in fact 35, and until today I was not blessed with the gift of tongues. But I was blessed with getting close to God. And I knew God has given me so many good things that it is very easy for Him to give me something as simple as what is mentioned in the Bible, gift of tongues, or even something more than that. And I came to a situation where if He wills and if He desires and if He thinks it's good for me, He will give me. And through this process of seeking, I came to a place, no matter what, whether He gives me this particular gift or not, whether He gives me a wife or not, whether He gives me children that are fully healthy or not, my only goal is to cling to Him. 4 weeks ago, Casey was talking with me on phone, and he mentioned about changing the dates for retreat. So I had a desire to come, and my wife agreed, so we planned to come here. But along with that, he mentioned about how the church was recently preached about, was talking about fasting, and they had a blessing in doing fasting. So when I was going through my own quiet time, I read this verse. To me, I was not able to find what does it mean by clinging to God today. And I had a hard time getting close to feeling that God is close to me. Or I had a hard time really feeling the presence of the Lord. That's when I was encouraged from Brother Casey's phone call, okay, today I'm going to fast. So the following day I fasted. I fasted during the day and evening I ate the meal. It was a blessing. And then I realized I can actually do it every day. So I did a whole 2 weeks, just ate one meal, like fasted the whole day. And I can see myself instantaneously praying to God, instantaneously praising God. And there are one trouble that really plagued me or still plaguing me is my work, that I really don't know what to do and it's troubling me. But I came to a place, really give it to the Lord. As I'm fasting, I can feel the closeness of God and I can see how I can just give it to God right in that moment. Before that, it was not possible, but then it started becoming possible. So Before I leave, I want to refer to three other verses, one from Old Testament and two from New Testament. How does it look like clinging to God? I'll start from Old Testament, Mark 12, verse 30. It's a very famous word. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. It's not following our heart, but it's loving our God, your God, with all our heart, soul and mind and all our strength. If we're actually loving God with all his ourselves, then we're clinging to God for each and everything of ours. And we look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 5. Yes, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones. So he's comparing, the author of 1 Peter is actually comparing us to Jesus. You also, like living stones, are being built into your spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It's not just Jesus offering sacrifice for all of us. The author is comparing us to Jesus so we can offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, which is again calling us to be like Jesus, clinging to God. Hebrews, it mentions about how Jesus was, when he was on earth, he was offering prayers with loud cries and tears so that he may be saved from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. And that is the level of clinging we need to go. That is the level of compassion that is being between Jesus and us today in this. And I want to mention one Old Testament, Exodus 19:36. It's not in the New Testament. Even in Old Testament, God was expecting people to cling to him so that there'll be a special people to make a name, praise, and a glory for him. Then Moses went up to God, Exodus 19, verses 3 to 6. Went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession." So we are to be the treasured possessions. "Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. I believe today God is calling us to be a special possession for him, to be a people of a name, a praise and glory, so that we'll be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Even the whole earth is mine, but we are to be, even the whole earth is God's, we are to be special people. I'll end my talk here. I'm not sure exact plan, but Dr. Trubel will lead us into a prayer. But I really wanted to encourage all of us today, if there is an area of life where you're clinging yourself to something else and not to God, maybe it's the time to think through it and write it down and pray about it. Ask God, if you don't know how to cling to him in that particular area, even ask God to show you how to cling to him. Sometimes it can be just, for me, it needed fasting to really give my work to him and feel better. For you, it could be something else. If you are not clinging to God in every area of your life, write it down and pray about it. Thank you.